satellite automation tools for your convenience. And now, a few words about our show timing. The show itself begins at 5 minutes past the hour. This break is for local news, weather, and sports as provided by you, our affiliate radio stations. The show is broken up into four parts. There are three commercial breaks between these parts. Each break is 4 minutes long, and they air at 15 minutes past the hour, 30 minutes past the hour, and 45 minutes past the hour. The show ends at 59 minutes and 30 seconds past the hour. The last 30 seconds are for local station identification.
Travel World is produced in Washington, D.C. by Travel World Central. For more information, please see our website, www.twc.ca. Friends sharing travel with friends. www.twc.ca.
Travel World is licensed on a bartered basis, provided that the show is aired intact and that the first 2 minutes of each break are aired as is, without change. You may replace the second 2 minutes of each break with your own local ads. We do require that you inform us that you did run the show and when. We accept standard syndication affidavits. You may rebroadcast the show as many times as you wish, and you may distribute it freely, provided that it is aired intact. You may not cut out segments of the show without our prior written permission. Please see our website, www.twc.ca, for more information.
Take your dream trip.
Come along with us as we travel the world.
Across America via satellite.
Your listeners will love the Travel World Radio Show. It's a one-hour travel talk show. This is Willem Backus.
Stephen Pickford.
Bob Cassini.
Scott Fontaine.
Ella Sobel.
David Eady.
Travel World is informative.
Oh, yeah.
This is for the people who want to have the times of their lives.
Ahuki Lau, she explained, was a traditional Hawaiian way of putting food on the table and making sure that everyone had enough to eat.
This is the old path of the West River Railroad.
Fine food service, comfortable seats with adjustable headrests, the individual entertainment systems. They also have a camera where you can get a bird's eye view of the plane taking off and landing.
Our transport around the city centre is wonderful. We have the Metrolink, we have a free bus service, but most importantly is the fact that the city is really, really compact.
Many of Wailea's beachfront hotels offer great freebies to their guests, too.
It's a high-speed quad share lift.
It's great. I love listening to you guys talk about this because it brings up so many great ideas, both
sure.
Memories and things that everybody would like to do in the future, grab a plane out of here and go see something different.
This is the western region of Montana.
This is the Glacier National Park region.
Two stingrays hovered over our heads for several minutes.
11 countries in 33 days.
Cool remotes.
Live from Auberge de la Falaise, up in the beautiful Lanaudière region of Quebec. Town of Jamaica, Vermont. We said we wanted to go to Jamaica. They sent us to Vermont.
Caesar's Pocono Palace Resort, Pocono Mountains of Northeast Pennsylvania, or
Northeast Kingdom, and I'm here at the Inn on the Common with one of our longtime friends of the show, Jim Lamberti.
Having a great time sitting here at the Ocean Place Resort.
We're in Essex Junction, Vermont, at the Champlain Valley Fair.
From the Great Eagle Hotel in Kowloon.
Inn at Essex, in Essex Junction, Vermont. Penny House Inn on Cape Cod in Easton, Mass.
Lake George, New York, at Fort Wayne Resort.
Carefree Resort and Villas in beautiful Carefree, Arizona.
Legendary Mr. Steer's Steerburger Restaurant, downtown Montreal.
The Biloxi Tricentennial.
York Region, just north of Toronto.
Good morning, Willem.
Great guest.
Mike Maxfield is the museum manager of the Manchester United Football Club Museum Hall of Fame at the Old Trafford Stadium. A must-see for any visitor to Manchester.
Lauren Demaray joining us online.
Hi, this is Gerald Tremblay, Mayor of Montreal.
Francine Barlatti from Super Clubs and Danny Cordero of Air Canada Vacation.
Hi, this is Hudson Foga.
We have the Minister of Tourism, Culture and
Recreation.
The Honorable Paul Shelley, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
And best of all, it's fun.
I end up in a nude volleyball game.
You guys are insane.
This is where you want to go for a stick.
Can you believe these guys?
I just wanted to know if it was the largest and funniest catch.
So you have to be careful when you're jumping around with nothing on.
So join us, won't you, every Saturday on Star Guide 3.
This is the Travel World Radio Network.
Across America and around the world, this is the
Travel World Radio Show.
Friends sharing travel with friends. With Willem and Linda. Yeah, baby.
And welcome back once again to Travel World Radio Show, Travel World Central. I'm Willem Backus in studio right here in Washington, D.C., and I got a real special guest. One of the things I particularly enjoy about doing this show and have done for years about this particular show is it's all about the people we meet along the way. Travel and lifestyles, whether we're taking a plane out of here or whether they take a bit of an escape in one's mind. We meet some amazing people in our lifetime, and one of the people I'm really glad I met most recently is my good friend here, Scott Bizdak, and welcome to the show, Scott.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Now, Scott, we met when we were playing hockey together, and one of the things I discovered, and I love people who do something creative, and I recently discovered that Scott is a book author and some really interesting books. So what Scott has written, he's actually got two books out, right?
Correct.
And the one that I just bought is your latest book title was called Murder in Coal Country, and we'll get into that. And the other one is No Screams in Silence. So they're kind of murder mysteries, almost police procedurals. Tell us a little bit about the books, a bit of an overview, because I suspect we're going to have a lot of fun today.
Well, a little bit of background on myself.
Absolutely.
I've been in law enforcement for 17 years. I've been doing it. Love the job.
Yep.
And it's been interesting, and I've always told myself that if I ever had a story that was worthwhile, that I would try to put it down on paper. And I that's all I was trying to do, was tell a good story. And that's what I set out to do. And initially, you know, it was one of those bucket list things that I never intended anybody to really read.
Yep.
And somebody convinced me to let somebody read it, and they hooked me up with a publisher, and she read it, and she saw something in it, I don't know what, but she saw something in it, and she hooked me up with another individual who helped me as a content editor. As many folks know, writing police reports is very succinct. It's this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn how to tone it down, how to not be so harsh.
Okay, so not so quite direct. You know, suspect did this, and then car was there, or you know, glass broke at this particular time, but to make it a little bit more fluid, I suppose, right? Something more narrative,
correct?
More prose, yeah.
Yep. So I had to learn to be more descriptive in my writing, so I could paint a better picture of what the scene itself. You know, it's not just that the window was broken. It's, you know, the night air was cold because X, Y, and Z, and then the subject came up because he was in the area for this reason, as opposed to subject broke window. It was captured on video, and here we are.
The night was, .. Mm-hmm. As that's a famous movie quote, obviously. But the fun thing is here is you don't necessarily have to have the most perfect turn of the phrase, but it has to be something that people are interested in following. So, and there is a way of telling stories.
Right. And it was a huge learning curve.
Well, yeah. You know, when we were first talking about doing the show, I mean, I've done print journalism now since 1988. And what really convinced us to get into radio in the first place is we just kept on telling our old stories from the road. We did this, we did that, and found it, oh my goodness, they're actually entertained. And we're telling the same story for the last 15 years, but some people are interested in hearing it. So that's how this particular show was born. So much the same way, I guess. But these are stories that you... well, how did you come to the story? You said these books are actually two in a series, so it's recurring characters, like episodes or two movies, one and two?
The first book is No Screams in Silence. The one that you actually purchased is the second in a series.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out. It's very loosely based on some of my past experiences and some of the some things that I had heard, you know, from working in law enforcement.
Sure.
You just kind of take it all together and you meld it, and you try. You hope to do it in such a way that it captivates.
Yeah,
and it, you know, people can want to turn the page and keep on reading. And like I said, I never intended anybody to read this. It was just a bucket list thing, and somebody had convinced me. And it was funny because the editor, she had told me, she goes, you know, most first-time writers, I can open up to page 40.
Okay.
And that's where the story should start. And she was 100% correct.
40.
Page 40. She said, because that's all the filler stuff that you want to put somewhere else in the novel. You don't want to – first-time – yeah, it was crazy. So literally, she opened up to page 30, and that's where the crux of my story started. She goes, this is where you want to start.
Okay. So in other words, well, I noticed that when I started leafing through your book, Murder in Cold Country. I mean, there was one page of the usual stuff you look for at the beginning of the book, you know, the masthead and so on. But I mean, you dive right in. I'm going, wow, this is straight into the action.
That's you want your hook. And one of the mistakes I made with No Screams and Silence was that I put too many nameable characters in there, which, you know, so folks are like, oh, do I have to remember this? Do I have to remember this? I didn't want it to be, and it ended up turning out to be, but I didn't want it to be something where, like, I wanted you to be able to read and not have to think too much.
Okay.
Just tell the story from start to finish. And then, but then, you know, at the beginning, I put in a lot of jargon, and I don't know, it's... If I could have done it again, I would have done things a little differently.
Well, we all evolve as we create our things. I mean, people who write music, you look at the difference, the evolution of their design when it goes from, you know, the first song they wrote to the 15th and say, oh, I understand where these parts come in. Or even ourselves with the radio show. I mean, if you listen to the stuff we did in 1997, some of it's rather embarrassing, but it's the fun of live radio. And that's really the fun of doing all this. I mean, the title of the show is Friends Sharing Travel with Friends. So the intention is to be informal. The intention is to get to the spirit of things, which is why I'm glad to be learning a little bit about how you got into it in the first place. Now, No Screams and Silence, when did that come out?
That came out, let's see, that's been about 8 years since that one's been out.
2010?
Was it 2010?
Yeah. I'm dating it. On a show that's good for all time.
Well, I have the answer right here. No, 2014, excuse me. Ah. So it was four years ago, because it took me 4 years. It actually, from start to finish, it took me 4 years to write.
Okay, so this married man timing.
Correct.
It seems like forever,
there you go.
Right?
So, yes.
No, seriously. But, you know, I get it. So you took 4 years to write that particular one. My book, which is a computer manual, it took from November of 2012 to April of 2013. But there were a lot of mornings at 5 in the morning.
Yep.
And when my wife was helping me proofread that thing, of course, she said, yeah, that looks like something you'd have written at 5 in the morning. So,
well, my whole... I wanted my thoughts to come natural.
Uh-huh.
And if you have to force it,
yeah,
it doesn't make sense. So there were times... This isn't how I make a living.
No.
You know what I mean? It was
a labor
fun
of love.
Right. It is. Exactly what it is. It's a labor of love. I did it because I enjoy doing it. So there are some weeks where I could hammer out 10 pages. But then again, there were some weeks where I could barely eke out a sentence. So it was...
Okay.
I didn't force myself.
Okay.
So that's why I just took my time. So I guess I'm on a 4-year deadline. So I've started book number 3.
Oh, cool.
And I'm 3 chapters in, so I guess in another 4 years that one will be out as well.
I like that one. I had a friend of mine who wrote a book, and it was one of these, it was based in the Star Trek universe, and he said he was going to base a character on me. I was a rogue Orion that caused the problem that was the entire setup for the series of books that he wrote. So thanks, I'm the rogue Orion. But in this case... Now, when you set out, you say it's a recurring character. Did you have a story arc in mind or an end goal? Did you write not knowing where the story was going to go?
I did. And as a matter of fact, the ending to this one, I didn't realize how I was going to end it until I was... It's 24 chapters, and I was at chapter 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, I was in the shower one morning thinking about it. And I said, you know what? That's a good ending. So that's how I'm going to do it.
Nice.
And then I worked towards that ending.
So in a way, as you're writing, it's almost like you're living the movie with the readers.
Right.
Which is, that's pretty captivating. Now, you're talking about the second one, right? Murder in Cold Country?
That's
or was
the
that
first
the
first one. That's
no
the first one.
That's
No Screams
and Silence.
The second one, I had the storyline already thought out in my head.
Okay.
And so I just went from start to finish.
Okay. Well, that's fair. That's pretty good, though. So that's a bit of the writing process, how it goes. I like the idea of creativity and the thought behind how you go and put the whole thing together. Because that is, of course, you know, we're used to taking in stories and coming to us. But, you know, you do have the writer's table. People have to figure out, what are we going to do with all these characters? So,
well, one of the other caveats to...
Yeah, we're going to be taking a break real quick.
All right.
Hold that thought. It's Willem Backus here in Virginia with Scott Bizdak. Join us on Travel World following the break.
Across America and around the world, this is the Travel World Radio Show.
Friends sharing travel with friends with Willem and Linda.
Stay While in Montreal, guests of Travel World stay at the luxurious Hotel Dufour, offering informal elegance and a vibrant sense of space in each guest room and suite. All the comforts of home and office, from beautifully styled custom-crafted furniture to kitchenette convenience. Enjoy panoramic views of the St. Lawrence and Mount Royal, then step outdoors to a multitude of shops and restaurants at your doorstep. Upscale service for the discriminating business or leisure traveler. Hotel Dufour, 1390 4th Street at St. Catherine. Telephone 938-8333.
At Porter, we believe that traveling for business shouldn't be hard work. Flying into or out of Toronto City Airport, you're just minutes from downtown, saving on time-consuming commutes. Fly through our hassle-free check-in. Send that last-minute email using the free Wi-Fi in our luxurious lounge. And enjoy first-class onboard service as standard. That way, when you touch down, you're ready to take care of business.
Take your dream trip aboard Via Rail's Transcontinental, Toronto to Vancouver. Ride Via Rail Canada's train number one, the Canadian. See the beauty of the Canadian Shield in silver and blue. Explore the famous park car in the Bullet Lounge. Enjoy 360-degree visibility in the scenic dome. See the great forest and wildlife as you pass by. Experience Via's superb dining as you take in the view. Enjoy fun activities in the Skyline car and sleep in the comfort and privacy of your own bedroom. Experience true luxury on rails. See the prairies and take in the majestic Rocky Mountains. You'll ride in relaxed comfort, just like Golden Age of Rail. Via Rails Canadian, the train of dreams. Take your dream trip today. Via Rail Canada. People moving people. Visit us at viarail.ca.
Yeah, I know, it's okay. The boat's a little beat up, but we're okay, thanks to the Coast Guard.
I am the port in the storm.
The slick is contained.
Roger that.
I am the line in the sand.
Oh, I got you. Hang on. Okay, take us up.
I am the rescuer in the dark.
Looks like we've got about 80 kilos here, Captain.
That's 80 kilos off the streets.
I am the enforcer of the seas.
I'm in container 38. Everything is secure.
Good work, Garcia.
I'm the defender of the homeland.
In the United States Coast Guard, you are the first line of defense against threats to our American way of life. To become one of us, call toll-free 1-877-NOW-USCG or visit GoCoastGuard.com.
We are the shield of freedom. We are the United States Coast Guard.
The United States Coast Guard and Coast Guard Reserve, the shield of freedom.
Sponsored by the U.S. Coast Guard in cooperation with the Connecticut Broadcasters Association and this station.
Dancing. Learn to dance at the Arthur Murray Dance Studio. Dancing is fun. It's great exercise and it builds confidence. It sure beats aerobics. Dancing feels great and you'll look great. You can go alone or with a partner. At Arthur Murray, their instructors are friendly, professional, and you'll learn at your own pace. Arthur Murray teaches ballroom, Latin, and popular dance styles, like the merengue, cha-cha, tango, waltz, rock and roll, the hustle, swing, and more. Don't worry if you have two left feet, because everybody starts somewhere. And before long, you'll be amazed at your progress. At Arthur Murray, your program will include one-on-one lessons, group lessons, and practice sessions. Plus, you can practice in their studio anytime at no additional cost. They're open at hours that are convenient to you, weekdays from 1 to 11 p.m., and on Saturdays by appointment. You'll look great and you'll feel better. Call Arthur Murray today and get ready to dance. Call today, because your first lesson is free. Arthur Murray Dance Studio, Brunswick Boulevard, near Sources Road in Dollard. Telephone 421-9710. That's 421-9710.
Travel and Lifestyles Programming. This is the Travel World Radio Network.
And welcome back once again to the Travel World Radio Show from Travel World Central. Friends sharing travel with friends right here from Studio Washington, D.C. It's Willem Backus in studio with you. Got a special guest in store with a great show all about my good friend Scott Bizdak and his two books, No Screams in Silence and Murder in Coal Country, Murder Mysteries, Police Procedurals, really cool, interesting stuff. Before the break, we were talking about Scott's writing process, how he came to start writing, and that was really super interesting. And now Scott wants to talk a little bit about the characters, because the two books, they're in a series, you're writing the third one, and you've got two main characters, and, you know, we were talking during the break, and they sound rather interesting. So, first of all, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
And so, give us a bit of an overview of the characters you got.
When I switched departments back in 2007, and I moved to a department up in Northern Virginia, and I started working with two individuals on my squad that were extremely interesting, and that they were like an old married couple, I guess is the best way to describe them. And Adam and Bernie. So if you do pick up the books and read them, just know that Adam and Bernie are real people, real people that I worked with. And Adam is from Detroit, Michigan, and Bernie is from Jamaica, Queens. And they both end up in the country somehow in my novels, and it explains how they do so. But it's funny. They are oil and water. Bernie is typical New Yorker, and Adam is typical Detroit. And when they get together, it's kind of funny.
One of these days, I'm going to have to meet them just to put flesh to the names, because it's an awful lot like one of the friends of our show. Of course, she has her own cast of coworkers, and we get to hear some stories which are rather fun. And in fact, over the years, having met people on different forces, there are an awful lot of funny stories which can't be repeated over the airwaves, but that it's the nature of the beast. So give us a bit of a go. So Adam and Bernie.
Adam and Bernie, yeah, they meet up together in what I've called Stillwell County, Kentucky. And I tried to find a county that was interesting, had enough going on, so I chose the coal fields of eastern Kentucky. And Bernie, you'll read that he has a mining engineer background, and that's how he ended up down there before his mine went defunct.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to get into law enforcement, whereas Adam, on the other hand, he got down there by other means, and they both start working together. Bernie is a narcotics detective working with the Stillwell County Sheriff's Office, and Adam is just a general detective, and they work together to solve a murder that they find a character by the name of Melissa Dwyer. They find her deceased in a meth lab.
Oh.
And that's how the whole story starts.
That's No Screams in Silence.
This is No Screams in Silence.
Okay. Melissa Dwyer.
Melissa Dwyer. So during the process, it's kind of funny. When we're all together, Adam, Bernie, and I, we do hang out still. So when we're together, you know, when I was writing and I got stuck on a particular, section, the thought that I always used is, what would tick Adam and Bernie off at this exact moment?
Okay.
What would make them the most angry? And I would think about that, and then I would find a good answer, and then I would work from there. So he would have to work through this daunting, you know, what would tick him off. He would have to work through that to get through to the next
phase.
Well,
that's interesting. If someone wrote that about me, they'd have a whole plethora of things to write about. I don't know. I don't think I have that many hot buttons. It just seems our siblings seem to know all the buttons and push them all at the same time. So, but that's kind of cool. So
yep.
What would tick them off? I have a friend of mine. We used to go camping up in Lake George, New York, and he was a cop for a lot of years in Yonkers. And oh my goodness, the stories. Oh, so give us an example, or if you can, I mean, without giving away the store.
Well, with Adam in particular, prime example is in the opening scene. So I'm not giving away too much into the Adam has a very strong dislike for firemen.
Oh, really?
He calls them the evidence destruction team.
Oh my god!
So when he has to go in to work a scene, general investigation that if the fire department's already been to, obviously there's a lot of water.
Yes.
Obviously, there's a lot of broken glass.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, they've tracked every bit of mud from the outside into his crime scene. So he has to somehow work through that without getting too angry at the fire personnel on the fire grounds and try not to kick them off and just go crazy.
Do they mess with him?
No, because typically on the fire grounds, everybody knows their role.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that this task needs to be
be
completed before, you know, they can move in.
So it's a pet peeve more than anything else.
Exactly.
Well, that's kind of cool. Yeah. No, because sometimes you'll have this inter-service rivalry where every now and then you'll just kind of, not meant to really hurt people, but just to push their buttons and watch them go nuts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. So, all right, so that's Adam. What's Bernie's hot button?
Bernie is more of the even keel. So if you have the good cop, bad cop type scenario, Bernie would be the even keel.
Okay.
Let's slow down. Let's think about this for a second. Adam, you need to calm down. Go away. Let me handle this. He brings that to the table.
Now, how do they become partners? I mean, or are they partners?
They are not partners. They both work for the Stillwell County Sheriff's Office, okay. But Adam is in general detection. So he's just a regular detective.
Okay.
So he takes property crimes and whatever comes his way. And in smaller agencies, which is what we did, you wore many hats.
Okay.
So you would, as a detective, you would be working a property crime the first minute, then stolen auto the next minute,
right.
And then a murder the next minute.
Okay.
So you weren't, there wasn't one specialty. And as when I was with the sheriff's office, I worked undercover narcotics and gangs for 3.5 years.
No kidding.
So I was dual sworn through the sheriff's office and the Virginia State Police.
Wow.
And what I would do is I would work narcotics in 5 counties, and every once in a while, you get taken off, and you would have to help out, which is, you know, that's
well, you pitch in. We're all on the same team. We have the same goal in mind. But
right.
I didn't even realize there was that interdepartmental or interagency cooperation. Well, that's kind of nice to hear. I mean, everything you hear on TV is, oh no, we don't want to talk to them. But I guess it's a heck of a lot more professional than TV ever points out.
It does, and it's, you know, the funny. It's a whole different ball game working in rural America.
Oh, really?
It is. Urban, it's so condensed, and there's with the larger agencies, you always have backup. You always have somebody there to back you up within 30 seconds to a minute.
Okay.
Out there, it could be 15 minutes before your nearest backup arrives because that's how big the counties are, and you have limited law enforcement.
Well, when they plan out, I'm sorry, I'm going a bit more of a macro view. When they plan out law enforcement or police protection, do they actually account for distance from the police station as to where to locate it, or they just plant it here and say best of luck? Or how's it go?
What they try to do is normally within each county, there's a county seat, so that's generally the center of the county, and they try to respond out.
Okay.
From there. So it's centralized, and then you respond out to the calls.
Oh, I see. Okay. No, because I don't know what rhyme or reason might be involved with that sort of thing.
But that is, you know, that's in a perfect world, but then you need to take into account that you have less than 100 deputies working a particular county, and that is for jail, that's for patrol, that's for civil process, that they run the entire county. So for patrol, you may only have 20 deputies.
Okay.
So I remember working this particular county with 3 people.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Aye. Well, that's kind of interesting. So rural law enforcement. Now, do you end up getting to know most of the people who you protect?
You do, and what you were hitting on is when they map out. By law, you are required so many law enforcement officers for so many 10,000 people.
Oh, okay.
The way that works. So in a rural county that may only have 40,000 people, you're only allotted so many officers.
Okay.
So that's how they work that.
Okay, no, I didn't even realize this. I'm learning something new. I'm always ready to learn something new. That's pretty cool, actually. Yeah. So you got the two characters. That's Adam and Bernie. And who are the secondaries? Who pitches in on the good guys team?
You have your normal cast for your sheriff, Sheriff Lawson. Then you have your lieutenants and your captains who kind of oversee the case, who Bernie and Adam have to answer to.
Okay.
And when they work the case, they're kind of bouncing ideas off of these folks. But for the most part, when you're out there, they leave you alone. They leave you on your own accord, and you can go in the direction that you want to go to. You just have to notify them. This is how I'm going.
Okay, so there's a lot of autonomy, and they can kind of take the investigation in different directions and stuff.
Right.
Now, do they venture out of the county at all during your stories, or does it take place entirely within Stillwell County?
Stillwell County is funny. Stillwell County is, and I can divulge this, it's okay. It's Stillwell County is actually Floyd County, Kentucky.
Okay.
And it's Prestonsburg is the county seat, and I went down there and did my research and took all my pictures, and so in my mind I can see this as we're sitting here talking.
Well, we're going to take this following the break. It's Travel World Radio Show Across America by Internet.
World. This is the Travel World Radio Show.
Friends sharing travel with friends. It's Willem and Linda.
Vacation time can mean a heart-rending decision. What to do with your pet? Auberge VIP offers a unique concept in boarding facilities designed for the ultimate comfort of your best friends. From the moment of registration, a trained staff member is assigned to provide personalized attention to your pet. A variety of suite sizes are available for our canine guests, designed to provide privacy while cats enjoy a choice of multi-level apartments with a sunny southern exposure. Your pet's personal program can be tailor-made, from special diets to daily grooming and a play and exercise time each day. And it's not just luxury amenities that sets Auberge VIP apart. Auberge VIP provides for a totally enclosed environment, offering safe, sanitary conditions with personnel on duty 24 hours a day and a veterinarian on call. Auberge VIP, we invite you to call us to visit our facility and experience firsthand the care and special attention your pet deserves. Auberge VIP, a comfortable and caring atmosphere for your very important pet. Call today, 381-6653.
DiCapua's Photography. Quality professional photography services for all occasions. Let DiCapua's put their 20 years of industry experience to work for you. Entertainers and models, commercial, industrial, and aerial photography, portfolios and portraits, people, places or things, studio or on location. Your satisfaction is the focus at DiCapua's Photography. Stop in at 913 East 2nd Street, Reno, Nevada, or visit our webpage and sample our work at nav.to/DiCapua. That's DECAPUA. Call Gary at DiCapua's Photography to plan your special occasion or business photos. 329-8810. 329-8810. Capture that special moment that will last you a lifetime. DiCapua's Photography. 329-8810. You'll like what we see.
You have a name, so the next time you call up one of those mega monster banks about a mortgage, ask them if they remember your name.
Give me a minute.
Or maybe ask them what options they have for someone who's self-employed, a commission salesperson, has a unique financial situation, or not so perfect credit.
There might be a special high-risk program. Just hang on.
Now, call Southern New England Mortgage Group in Plainville and try the same thing.
You know, Jim, I'm glad you called. I'm sure we can help you out.
With 33 years of professional experience, the loan originators at Southern New England Mortgage Group know how to get the job done. Call today, 1-888-835-2780, and get a personalized mortgage solution that meets your needs. Southern New England Mortgage Group can make your dreams a reality. Call 1-888-835-2780. You don't have to put up with the big bank runaround or be treated differently because you're self-employed or have not so perfect credit. Call the local guys. Southern New England Mortgage Group, 1-888-835-2780.
I'm here with Fearless Janice, the woman who has devoted her life to trying anything. Now, she's about to prove it to us by eating a cinder block sandwich.
You got it, Dan. I feel it's important to be adventurous.
Janice, is it true that you ate the wheels off a car, drank a quart of milk with your tear duct, and then passed 35 feet of rope through your intestinal tract?
All in the same afternoon, Dan.
Janice, is there anything out there you wouldn't try?
Well, that's a no-brainer. Cigarettes, of course.
You wouldn't try a cigarette? Oh, come on.
No, you come on, Dan. Do you know what's in a cigarette? Nicotine, an addictive drug. I said I was adventurous, not stupid. Just thinking about being addicted gives me an upset stomach.
You'll try a cinder block sandwich, but you won't try a cigarette?
Question, Dan. Have you ever heard of anybody getting hooked on cinder blocks?
Well, that's the word. Apparently, it's safer to try a carburetor milkshake than it is to try smoking. Because the intestinal distress will last only a few days, but smoking can last the rest of your life. A message from the Massachusetts Department of Public Health.
This is the Travel World Radio Network.
And welcome back once again to the Travel World Radio Show. I'm Willem Back. It's in studio Washington, D.C., and I got a special guest, Scott Bizdak, author of the... Well, it's going to be a trilogy soon. He's got two books, No Screams in Silence and then Murder in Coal Country, and he's working on his third right now. Scott, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, just before the break, we were talking about the different characters that were in the show, you know, Adam and Bernie, and then you were talking about some of the locations. I did ask you at the time whether it actually the action gets out of Stillwell County. Now, Stillwell County is, of course, your own creation based on a real county.
Correct.
And that was Floyd in Kentucky.
Floyd County, Kentucky, yes.
And so take it from there. Tell us a little bit more about your locations and stuff, because it's always nice when you throw in a little bit of personalization. I like that.
It was kind of fun. With this particular, the case that they were working, it took them not only into the heart of Stillwell and out into the county, but it led them into Ohio and Tennessee, and where they were following the murderers and the trail that they left, and it ends up being that they're looking after some mass murderers and some pretty nasty guys. So they follow their trail of destruction until it ultimately leads up to them in Tennessee, and when they're taken into custody, and they're able to figure things out from there. I don't want to divulge too much, because that's a lot of the storyline there.
So there's interrogations, there's captures, there's following the clues and the trails and so on. I think that's pretty darn exciting. Do they work with other agencies, or is it mostly them working on their own?
Anytime that you work outside of your jurisdiction, you have to work in conjunction with that agency.
Okay.
It's kind of like playing in somebody's sandbox when you're
sure.
not invited.
Yeah.
So you have to let them know that you're there.
Now, I mean, every time we see this kind of thing on TV, when Department A contacts County B, there's always some kind of hostility. But, I mean, is that real? Or in most of the case, people just, hey, come on in, and as long as you let us know, work in our sandbox. What's it really like?
It all depends on the case itself.
Yeah.
I've never had an instance where an agency has said, no, don't come up here. We don't want you here.
Okay.
They don't like it when you're investigating the same thing and you try to overstep them,
right?
Obviously, because that's they have their own set of rules and circumstances.
Basic courtesy, though. I mean, as long as you observe basic courtesy, most people are professional.
Absolutely.
That's been my pet peeve with all these police procedurals you see on TV. Where's the professionalism?
Well,
and then that kind of bugs me when I watch TV shows.
Well, that's made for good drama. That's what draws you in.
I suppose so. But I think you can have good drama without the unprofessionalism, no? I mean, the subject matter in the story is interesting enough. I mean, people do this for a living because, A, they're dedicated to the mission, and, B, sometimes the work is darn interesting.
Yeah, it is.
So, anyway, that's just me guessing. I have never been in law enforcement of any kind. I mean,
I've never had an instance where anybody's said, nah, we don't need your help, or
cool.
No, we don't need you to do this.
So basic professional, because you're mostly on the same team.
Correct.
So, yeah. And that's the way I normally expect it to be. It's just so funny. Anyway, Hollywood extensions and so on. So now tell us a bit more. One of the things we talk about, because we know each other from hockey, and you know I'm from Montreal originally. My family lives in the greater Toronto area. Sometimes I go to Hamilton. When I drive down to D.C., I go through upstate New York. Well, western New York, actually. And there's a particular place I drive through, Olean. And you mentioned that there's a place in your book based on somewhere in Olean.
Yep. That's where both of my parents, they were born and raised. My dad was born on the Salamanca Indian Reservation.
No kidding.
Back in the day, yep. And my mom was born at Olean General, and that's where they grew up.
That is so cool.
Yep.
One of the things, of course, if anyone has ever gone to western New York, it always gets me, because I go down 219, and then it gets me through Bradford, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. which is actually a picturesque drive, but it goes through the ski town of Ellicottville. Yes, and they call themselves Evil. And I laugh when I hear about the capital of Saskatchewan, you know? But, Evil. So we are the Evil Police.
They are the Evil Police. And actually, it's funny, because with Ellicottville, my family had a dairy farm.
Okay.
In Ellicottville. So So I spent some time as a kid growing up on the farm.
Oh, man. When we drive through Ellicottville, there's this beautiful blue house. I mean, gorgeous house. I mean, sometimes here in Manassas, when you're looking at some of the homes, and I look at them, and I want that house. It's beautiful, you know. Beautiful wraparound veranda, sometimes a bit Victorian. In the way they look, and some of the places up there are just absolutely gorgeous.
It is. That's pretty country.
And one of the commonalities, of course, that I have to mention it, because from Montreal, one of the things we talk about all the time, I talk about, I guess, because I love it, is poutine, which is French fries, gravy, and cheese. And you introduced me to a place called Cuba Cheese Company in Cuba, New York.
Yep.
From the area.
That's where we always get our cheese curd.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, there's cheese curd that's a little greasy. This stuff, no grease, even if you melt it in old melty cheese. Anyway, I'm getting hungry just thinking of all that melty cheese. And anyway, we'll go back to the book. But so, Olean, so you have that represented in your book.
I do. It was during the writing. It was kind of the little personal touches for, you know, family and friends, close family and friends. So when they read it, like, I know that place. So for my parents, I put in there my father, my grandparents. Mm-hmm. They own Monica's Restaurant, which is. It's no longer there, but it was in Allegheny, New York, just down from St. Bonaventure University.
Okay.
And spent a lot of time there as a kid growing up in the kitchen, doing what we call kitchen snitching in the middle of the night, going down and raiding the candy and everything else. But I made sure that I mentioned that in the book. So when my dad read it, he thought that was pretty cool.
That's
put
so
Monica's
cool.
Restaurant in there.
Yes, for sure. Well, that's awful. See, I like personal touches. So what else you got there in terms of the cool things?
And also... after my father retired, he bought a piece of property down in Luray, Virginia, down near Luray Caverns, and it's called Roundhead Mountain. And when Adam and Bernie are working a narcotics case with one of the bigger drug dealers in Stillwell, they end up on the top of Roundhead Mountain. That was another thing that my dad was reading. He was like, that's pretty cool.
Was it a place you named Roundhead, or did they actually make it within the book story to Virginia?
No, it's the original name of the property. Well, it was Dog Slaughter Ridge was the name of the place. And then it ended up being a place called Pop's Mountain.
Okay.
But then my father renamed it to Roundhead.
That's fair enough. But the characters in your book, did they go to the Virginia place, or did they go to a place within Kentucky that you refer to as?
Oh, it was in Kentucky. It was all generated in Kentucky. I just took the homie names and then put it into.
Oh, that's perfectly fair. I get it. Right. It's kind of fun. You put a little touch of home, and then when there are people, you know, who read these sorts of things.
It's like Radford University. I graduated from Radford University in Radford, Virginia, but Radford is in. I made sure that I put that in the book, as well as my fraternities, Alpha Sigma Phi. I was one of those guys, and I put that in there, made sure that I put all the cool stuff in there.
When I wrote my computer book, it's about Novell GroupWise, an enterprise email system, and you got to use examples when you're talking about software, and a lot of my examples involve Canadian historical figures. Yes, it's completely anachronistic because there's no way that Sir John A. Macdonald and Wilfrid Laurier would be sending emails back and forth to each other in 1867, or Laura Secord, who was the heroine of the War of 1812. But it was just meant to entertain people through rather dry material, so it was kind of cool. Okay, so you got Roundhead, the mountain. Anything else which is kind of cool?
I really wanted also to touch on the sites of Floyd County, Kentucky. So I ended up using a lot of the town names are still the same.
Okay.
But like I said, I changed the name of, because, you know, who wants to be known as a meth-addled murder capital
of
Kentucky?
Listen, we could write stories about Montreal, and I could talk about a place called Verdump, and everyone in Montreal knows what I'm talking about. And it's not really like that, but everybody has nicknames for the places they're from. So, I get that. And yeah, you want to give a bit of scenery to your book and your story, and you want to have a story there, and that's the whole point of fiction. You can make it up.
And the great part, the interesting thing, too, is Floyd County, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
It is absolutely beautiful. A buddy of mine and I, we took a motorcycle trip down there for a weekend. And I was trying to get, you know, just because I found it online. I was looking for a place that had a particular landmass, population, median income, those things. And I was looking for that particular spot. And this place fit the bill
perfectly.
So as soon as we went down there, we started driving around and started snapping some pictures. So there's Jenny Wiley State Park, which is mentioned in there, Hueysville, some of the little towns, and just the little nuances of Floyd County are actually incorporated here.
I'm going to get you a copy of a book written by, about 20 years ago, we had a chief correspondent named Vic Phillips. He's a crime reporter, and he wrote a book called The Heroin Merchants. I'm going to get a copy for you, just for entertainment value. So it's just kind of fun to share that sort of thing. So we're going to pick up following the break, get a little bit more into the book, how you can get your very own copy of No Screams in Silence, and also the Murder in Coal Country, which is the eastern Kentucky, and the ongoing adventures of Adam and Bernie. So stay listening to the Travel World Radio Show, friends sharing travel with friends around the world, across the internet, and we're going to come up on the break. So, Scott, welcome to the show, and we'll stay tuned following the break. Here we go.
across America and around the world. This is the Travel World Radio Show.
Friends sharing travel with friends with Willem and Linda.
Today we acted like a five-year-old with our five-year-old. Boarded the Titanic and lived to tell about it. Rode five rides and had 100 laughs. What all will you do? The center of fun in the Smokies is a small town called Pigeon Forge, where families come together. Visit mypigeonforge.com to learn more.
Fly with Porter, and everything just seems closer. It starts with our city center airport, just a hop, skip, and jump away from downtown Toronto. Our Toronto City Airport is compact and modern, so there's no jostling as you breeze through check-in. And a comfortable chair is never far away. In fact, you could say the journey is close to perfect. Wherever you're going, just got closer.
Before heading off on your next trip, head off to Jet Center. Jet Center is Montreal's travel accessory center with the largest selection of travel accessories in Eastern Canada. Everything that you could possibly want relating to travel, all in one location. Money belts, water purifiers, miniature binoculars, travel irons, guidebooks, and maps. Plus converters and adapters for all your electrical needs, including computers. What's more, you'll find every imaginable kind of rolling luggage, including duffel bags, knapsacks, and travel packs from such name brands as Tumi, Travel Pro, Skyway, Loose Sport Sack, Kipling, Timberland, Eagle Creek, Briggs & Riley, and more. At Jet Center, I found you don't pay more for quality and personal service. In fact, you'll save at Jet Center, and GST is included in every price you see. Jet Center, Montreal's Travel Accessory Center. 66 Laurier West between Clark and Cedar Bank. Telephone 271-5058.
Language is destiny. Every time you speak, read, or write, you expose the limits of your language. The words you think influence your actions. The words you use are always judged. The words you understand reveal what you know and what you don't know. Now with the Vocabulary Dynamics program, you can take charge of your verbal destiny. Easily master a world-class vocabulary, exude confidence and command of the English language, and expand your understanding of thousands of new words. And all you have to do is just listen. Developed by Scott Bornstein, international expert in language learning, memory know-how, and test preparation, Vocabulary Dynamics will unlock your genius for language and word use so you'll never be at a loss for words again. If you call now, Scott will drop the price by almost 40%. Call 1-888-813-7974 toll-free right now. 1-888-813-7974 for the Vocabulary Dynamics Program. 1-888-813-7974.
Back to sports probably means back to school or even back to pain. While school may not be an option, living with back pain is. Langley Chiropractic North and South realizes that you are in pain and that you want attention now. Call or walk in to either location. When you experience any discomfort due to grinding it out on the practice field or simply performing everyday tasks that cause back pain, visit Langley Chiropractic at either of their two Muncie locations, 2010 East 9th Street or 2991 North Oakwood.
Via Rail is proud to be the official ground transportation carrier for Travel World's media correspondents. Business taking you to Toronto but tired of battling traffic on the 401, the confusion of Pearson Airport and high airfares? Next time, arrive refreshed and relaxed. Pamper yourself with Via One first-class service from downtown to downtown. A hot meal served at your seat, full stretch-out comfort that allows you to spend productive work time, not lose time en route. Via One, the way Montreal-Toronto travel was meant to be, from Via Rail, Canada's passenger train network.
Across America via satellite, this is the Travel World Radio Network.
And welcome back once again to the Travel World Radio Show across America and around the world from Studio Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Willem Backus, in studio with a very special guest, Scott Bizdak, author of No Screams in Silence and Murder in Coal Country, based in Eastern Kentucky, and he's working on his third book. It's recurring characters, and man, it's hard to believe an hour has almost flown by, because we got to tell people how to get their own copies of this book, and we want to talk a little bit about the new book coming out, which it is out now, available on Amazon.com, Murder in Coal Country, Scott Bizdak, B-Z-D-A-K. Have a look. Just look in your search engine, and you'll find it. I bought my copy there. It says volume number 2. That kind of threw me a little bit, but that's the book. You're going to get it. And then it's kind of continuing. So tell us a little bit about book number 2.
Book 2 is Adam and Bernie once again together in the working together again. You'll find at the end of the first book, they have a separation from the sheriff's office.
Okay.
They don't leave under the most favorable of terms, I guess you could say, but they started working for the town of Stillwell, their police department. And a new sheriff comes in and is plagued by a set of murders that happen in the local coal mines.
Sure.
So they come. He doesn't have anybody in his staff that he feels is diligent enough to handle that case, so he comes to Adam and Bernie, and then not groveling. Let's not say groveling.
No, but he knew that they could help
right.
him. And so this is because we had Sheriff Lawson from the first book.
Correct.
And then because of an election, because sheriffs are elected, we have Sheriff Cubbage.
Not necessarily.
No?
You'll have to read
that's,
the first one
that's,
without giving too much away.
That's fair. That's fair, you know, but let's say so. We have the new sheriff is Sheriff Cubbage. Is that correct?
Yep. You have Sheriff Cubbage coming in, who was what we call white shirts, who are the upper echelon. And
okay.
He was under Sheriff Lawson, and he moves up the ranks.
Oh, okay.
So he comes in, and he becomes the new sheriff.
And he asks for help
of
our two intrepid detectives to come solve a new crime. So the first mystery is solved. We're just moving on to a new mystery.
We just move on to the next one.
The stories, they stand on their own. I mean, it's nice to have the books have a bit of setup and a bit of prequel to it, right?
You understand a little bit more about Adam and Bernie if you read the first one.
Yeah, absolutely.
You get their nuances in the second if you just were to read the second one.
Yeah.
But you definitely get a lot better idea of who they are and what they stand for in the first one.
Okay, well, that's kind of cool. Now, that brings me, of course, to first-time authors, because you're telling me this is a labor of love for you. This is something you did because you love it, and I understand that. And the best work I've ever done is when my heart's in it and I really like what I'm doing. And this is why these books are so enjoyable, is because they come from the heart. They come from something you truly enjoy doing. So tell us a little bit about your first-time writing experiences.
It was tough.
Okay.
I had a lot of a huge learning curve, and one of the things that I learned much later on, which I wish I had known up front, was what I would do is I would start to write, and I would think I had what I wanted, and then I would go back and read it.
Yeah.
And then I would look at it, and I say, this is absolute garbage.
Really?
This is garbage. I need to redo this.
Okay.
So I spent more time going back and editing than I should have. What I should have done and what I learned is you get your story out from start to finish.
Okay.
You get it all out on paper. Don't go back.
Okay.
Don't edit. Don't go back. Figure out what you want to say in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Get that out and then put everything down so it's linear, so it's start to finish. Then you go back. And then you start looking at it.
But you were thinking like 1 or 2 chapters ahead, right, when you were writing this?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Like I said, sometimes I could eke out a whole chapter. Sometimes I couldn't do a sentence.
Okay, because you figure out the story arc. And what you're telling me about Murder in Coal Country is that you kind of figured the ending out sort of midway through the book, almost?
That was, with Murder in Coal Country, the second one I had it all, because I learned.
Okay.
I learned, I had it all, I sat down and I said, this is what I want to say in chapter 1, chapter 2, mm-hmm. chapter 3, and I had it all lined out. So
all
I had
right.
the whole storyline lined out. Now, the second book is all, it's all made up.
Okay.
It's all in my head. That's
sure.
It's all things that I was able to think of. The first one, I drew on some cases that I'd known from the past.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But the second one was just, it was all made up.
Completely your own creation.
Yep.
Well, that's kind of cool, but that shows a developing writing skill, a bit of the maturity in the writing process. I mean, we don't do our best work the first time out of the gate, otherwise Wayne Gretzky could have just strapped on skates and been the guy that we saw on the ice. But, you know, we've got our areas of practice. We all start off with a certain amount of talent to begin with, but it's how you hone it. It's how you continue to do it. And typically, if you're doing something from the heart, that's when the best results come. That's at least my personal belief. So now, I'm all eager about this book. Now, were there any other lessons or takeaways that you can think of?
There was one with the first one. The lady who read the first, she told me, you know, I can turn to page 40,
uh-huh.
and I can. And she was an editor, and she,
okay.
she had her own publishing company,
right.
And so I had a publisher all lined up, and she read it, and she told me. There's a particular chapter in the first book that's it's very graphic that has to deal with the death of children.
Okay.
And she said, this is going to be way too harsh for my readers.
Right.
And she goes, I'm going to need you to pull that chapter.
Huh.
And I struggled with that for a little while, for a good 3 weeks to a month. I struggled
right.
with it back and forth. And I ultimately decided, I said, you know what? No, I'm not. I don't want to pander to a certain set. I want people to see what we actually see. I want them to feel what
right.
we feel, because there are some scenes that we go to. There are some things that I've seen in my life that I'll take to the grave.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's gruesome. I can't shake it.
Some things you can't unsee.
Right. So. And this is one of those things with one of these murders. It was so gruesome.
Ooh,
I mean,
boy. Well, it lends a certain authenticity to it, because you're drawing on real experience. So, I mean, the action, the storyline, and all the different nuances, they come from a very real place.
But hindsight being what it is, but you know, you look at it now, because you know, when you look at your bank account and it's hovering near zero, you know.
Yeah.
But there are some authors who have pulled chapters,
yeah.
and they've offered them special online, saying, "Hey, this is the chapter in between."
Okay.
But I had no clue about that. Like I said, it's all a first time process. So yeah. hindsight being 2020, should I have pulled it? Maybe. But I'm pleased with the way it turned out.
It's very easy to make these, you know, statements in hindsight. But the thing is, you know, when you're creating it, it's. I think what you said, the advice is get the whole story out,
yes.
and then decide afterwards. Because after all, this is work. You're creating it. You didn't create it. You know, you're not in it for the money. You're in it for the mission.
I just wanted to tell a good story.
Well, you
that is and what I wanted.
It's a bucket list. You're telling a story. You want to make a book, and that's what makes. That's what makes the book that much better. That's what makes it listenable, readable. I'm hoping that you actually do record it and make an audible version of it, because that's where I get most of my reading done. I mean, in the commuting traffic on I-66 is where I spend a lot of time listening to that. I really don't know what the procedure is getting that to them, but I'm really glad you got your book on Amazon. How do people get their own copy now?
It's available on Kindle, and it's on Amazon. The first one did pretty well, and it was picked up by Barnes & Noble. So the first one's on barnesandnoble.com,
uh-huh.
and the second one is on Amazon and Kindle. It's
okay.
Same as the first.
So the author name is Scott Bizdak, B-Z-D-A-K. Put that into your search engine. Or look for Murder in Coal Country or No Screams and Sounds for the first two books. Your third book is in the works. I thought it was rather charming and very interesting, the fact that you're creating these things. For me, I absolutely love the whole creative process. And I hope everybody enjoyed learning a little bit about these two great books from Scott. And a little bit of murder mystery, something to cozy up and cuddle with here. It's, well, you know, people, I watch a lot of police procedurals, and it's kind of nice, because then you can close the book and return to the real world, which is, sadly, sometimes not a whole heck of a lot better, but at least there's resolution in the book that you wrote. So that's there's some comfort in that. So, Scott, thank you for joining us. One thing we're going to be doing for you is, and look for it on our website, there's going to be a banner to click within a week or so, probably 2 to 3 weeks by the time we're back. And you can click on there. It'll bring you right to the Amazon link to buy your very own copy of Murder in Coal Country.
Thank you very much for having me. This has been an experience.
Well, thanks for joining us here on the Travel World. This is Willem Backus signing off with Scott Bizdak here at the Travel World Radio Show across America and around the world. And thank you for joining us for another edition of Friends Sharing Travel with Friends. Happy traveling, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Travel World Radio Network.
Friends sharing travel with friends. Travel World is produced in Washington, D.C. by Travel World Central. For more information, please see our website, www.twc.ca. www.twc.ca. Friends.